Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Wrestle Chat Radio's Hell in a Cell review. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's big event at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to talk to us live, of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Hell in a Cell, folks, proved that the WWE still knows how to put on a pay-per-view. They still know how to do it. Now, I was skeptical. I really thought they forgot. Or had people in charge that just simply didn't care. But apparently, they do know how to do it if they want to. I guess the question is, why don't you want to? But last night they wanted to, and last night they did. And I can tell you something, as I'm watching this show, and I'm becoming more and more impressed with it, I'm saying to myself, we have probably one person to thank for this show. Is it Vince? No. Is it Triple H? No. Is it Stephanie? No. It's obviously all the performers that went out there and did what they did. But who's the one man we got to thank above all of those others? And the answer to that question is Cody Rhodes. And I'll tell you why it's Cody Rhodes. Because when All In did the numbers that they did, when it drew the fan frenzy that it drew, somebody woke up. Somebody said, our asses are on the line here. It's time to take the gloves off before we simply get left behind. Because there are other people willing to do what we are not allowing ourselves to do. There's no other explanation. Because the WWE I saw last night in Hell in a Cell is not the WWE I have been watching for 6 months. And nothing else has changed. Except the wolves are at the door. Ring of Honor is selling out Madison Square Garden. And All In is did tremendous numbers. Both on pay-per-view and live. And the WWE finally woke up and said, maybe we do have competition. Maybe we aren't a complete monopoly of the wrestling business. Maybe fans are starting to reject us. And we also have some of the fans to thank, because a lot of the fans who wrote to the WWE with their displeasure, a lot of people who called them on their crapola, a lot of people who, when Stephanie tweeted, we always listen to the fans, made her understand that that is an asinine statement. Maybe all this kind of snapped them back into reality. Because last night, they put on one hell of a pay-per-view. From start to finish, really. But let's jump right into it, because we've got a lot to talk about. Let's start with the pre-show match, which, look, for a pre-show match, it was what it was. It was a good match, and it left us with the storyline I told you it was going to leave us with, which is Rusev is a little bit angry at Aiden English for being overzealous and probably costing them the tag team championships, and this is going to fester. Now, I know everybody wanted to see Rusev Day win, myself included. But in the grand scheme of things, we got a good match. We got a branch on the tree that could be a potential storyline. It's not a storyline I think is going to be successful, but at least it is one. And we'll see where the WWE goes with it from here. So I'm still okay with it. I still think it's okay. It's not what I know it's not exactly what the fans wanted. And I know fans can point to it and say, See, they're still not listening to us. But sometimes they don't listen to you immediately. Sometimes you gotta wait through the storyline. So let's see what happens. Before we jump the gun, let's just wait and see what happens. It's not like Rusev and Aiden English got killed. They were, you know, seconds away from winning the tag team belt, and it just seemed a tiny little bit of miscommunication cost them their chance. It did seem like Rusev was aggravated with Aiden English, and I think that's where the storyline's going, Mike, but it was still an okay match.
Yeah, and look, they actually, even though the New Day won, Rusev, they looked strong. Even when English was in the ring, they looked strong. You know?
Absolutely. And as Derek is saying, you know, smaller card and longer matches. That's the key. That's another key. When you have a 3-hour pay-per-view and 19 matches, well, then that's not going to work. I've told everyone from the beginning of this show, you can't expect someone to tell a story in 2 minutes. There's no story to be told in 2 minutes. If it's, well, you hit a couple of your big moves, I'll hit a couple of my big moves, we don't have any time, then you're not going to get a good match. I'd rather see 7 good matches than 12 lousy ones. So, Todd, I thought the opening match was okay. I mean, okay, Rusev Day didn't win, but it was still all right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The opening match of the pre-show was not a bad match. Like you said, you're going to see...
No, I don't think it was bad at all. Okay, we all wanted Rusev Day to win. Let's see what happens down the road. Now, I'll be the first to complain if they start really making Rusev the heavy, because it makes no sense. But at least we're left with a storyline. Then I start to get worried. I'm not going to lie to you. I started to get worried because they said the opening match of the pay-per-view was going to be Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy in a Hell in a Cell, and I said, man, this is going to set the tone for the whole night. And if these two guys come out and one's crippled up and injured and the other one's lazy and don't care, we could get a crowd that's really aggravated by the time the next match comes on. And I have to tell you, this is the best match I have seen Randy Orton or Jeff Hardy do, solo at least, in years and years. I was trying to recall the last time I saw a better match from either one of these guys, and I can't off the top of my head. It's got to be more than 5 years ago. Now, I expected Jeff Hardy would probably pull out all the stops. But you got to have the dance partner. If Randy Orton's not willing to work that pace, and here is the key thing, folks, and you're going to hear this a lot in our review, pacing. If you do not believe me, watch the pay-per-view again. The pace of those matches were intense. There was no long rest holds and stalling and lethargic punches in the corner where it's just, I'm stalling for time. These guys were just going balls to the wall, making use of every moment that they were given for their match. All night long. All night long. It's not just one match. All night long. The pace was incredible. And I told you they could all do it. When everybody's saying, they don't really, they're not the same type of caliber of wrestlers as Japan has or Ring of Honor. Oh, yeah, they are. They're just being handcuffed. Last night, somebody found the key. So they tore the house down. By the end of that match, I'm saying, Jesus, if you got to follow that, you got a little following to do. Those guys did a great job, and I know that Jeff Hardy let go of the top of the cage a little too late. Randy Orton was already off the table. Come on. Let's not be that nitpicky. Let's not go there. When the WWE makes glaring errors or there are big problems, I'm the first one to open my mouth. But that's a very minute point. And they covered it up well by saying he slipped. He lost his grip. Now, I imagine that they were counting how many back and forths, one, two, three, and then I'll fall. And I think Orton rolled off the table one rotation early. But come on, it didn't matter. It really didn't matter in the grand scheme of things. I can suspend my disbelief and say, oh man, he realized he rolled off the table, but he lost his grip. It's fine. Great match. Don't like Randy Orton, and I won't like Randy Orton tomorrow or the next day. But you give the devil their due when they do something well, and this was one of Randy Orton's best matches that I have seen him in a very long time. Mike, what do you think?
What can you say about it that you haven't said, other than the fact that we even got a chance? When was the last time you actually – now, I guess it was unintentional, but Randy Orton juiced, you know?
He had his back busted up from the chair.
I'm talking about on his leg.
And his leg, but his back too.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
so
listen, that's how hard they fought last night, Mike. But it happened three or four times. These guys were fighting hard last night. These guys were not throwing, air punches. They were not saying, be very delicate. You know, we bruise easily, Mike. These guys were like, okay, here we go, balls to the wall. Every match looked like there was a fight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and we'll get to this. Even the Ronda Rousey match looked that way. You know?
Yeah. I mean, look, the Ronda Rousey match was the worst match of the night, and I got some problems with it. But we'll get to that when we get to it. Todd, this Hell in a Cell opening the show, I thought, I don't know, I don't think you're going to be able to beat it.
I don't think so either. Like you said, like back years ago when the Undertaker threw Mankind off the top of the cell, I thought nobody could beat that match. But I think this one, I don't think nobody's ever gonna top that one. What we saw last night.
The thing was, it was intense. It may not have been the best match in terms of, oh, there was a moment that you'll never forget, like the Mick Foley thing, but it looked like they were really fighting. I mean, when he's hitting him with them chair shots, I'm saying to myself, those are some chair shots. And then you see Randy Orton's back is busted open, and you're like, those are legit chair shots. They took the handcuffs off these guys last night and said, hey, go for it. This felt like the wrestling that I have been waiting to see for a very long time. It wasn't the watered-down Kool-Aid version of wrestling. It was wrestling. So kudos to both Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton. Great job. Great job. Love the match. We then get to Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. And as Derek is pointing out in the chat room, it is true that pro Becky Lynch signs were confiscated, or anti Charlotte signs were confiscated last night. So for all of those people on these other shows, and I won't mention them, but there's some very high-rated wrestling talk shows who say, the WWE doesn't care who you root for. Those days are gone. Really? Well, if those days are gone, why are they confiscating the signs? So, Einstein, they do care who you're rooting for. So before you go patting yourself on the back and saying, we're the greatest show in the world, why don't you ask yourself a question? If they don't care who you root for, why the hell are they confiscating the signs? Anyway, they clearly want you to root for Charlotte Flair. But the fan said, F that. And I got to tell you, this is what women's wrestling is supposed to be. I'm watching the match saying, if they can do this in Evolution, this is going to revolutionize women's wrestling, because I was just as into that match as I was Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy. The pace, again, watch the pace. When you watch Raw, you watch SmackDown even, the pace is so slow, especially with the women's matches. It's like, God, sometimes there's a few fast moves and then it's okay, lethargic again. punch that looks like it's in slow motion, kick that looks like it's in slow motion, carefully grab your arm. I'm whipping you to the corner now. We didn't see that last night. These girls look like they just said, let's bring it, and they're fighting. And I'm saying to myself, this looks like a fight. It doesn't look like a staged, carefully orchestrated, move-for-move planned event. It looks like a fight. One of the better women's matches I've seen in this year, that's for sure. Becky Lynch is far better off with the style she's doing. Charlotte Flair did a phenomenal job. Both of these girls put balls to the wall again and set the pace. That's the thing that's going to matter. This whole event, I'm telling you, is based on the pacing of these matches. Nobody dogged it. Every match was fought like a fight. And we got the shock ending. Because truthfully, I thought that the pace they're going at, we're getting that double disqualification. We're getting that double count out. We are not getting a conclusion to this match. And in the end, they decided, and I think it's a last-minute decision, quite frankly, because right up until about last week, what I was hearing is they want to stretch this feud out with Charlotte still having the belt. And maybe the payoff will be Becky at Evolution getting the belt. Or maybe beyond. And they changed their mind. I think they realized, look, we got to give the fans something. And if they want Becky Lynch, give them Becky Lynch and see what happens. Then I don't know why you're confiscating the signs. But a great women's division match, Mike. One that they can, both of them can be really proud of, and I was very into.
This reminded me of Sasha Bailey from NXT. That's what this reminded me of. And look, Becky Lynch came in there with a plan. She came in there singularly focused. I'm going to take that arm away. I'm going to take that, take the ability, take a little bit of the ability of Charlotte to take to put on that figure eight away. You know, and look, she even gave us an honor thing for Arn Anderson with that invert, with that kind of the, I call it the hammerlock death drop, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that was a cool move.
But Mike, did you notice the pace was way faster than a normal women's wrestling match?
Yes, and look, this is the, we've said it before. We've got these girls, not just Charlotte and Becky Lynch, but Sasha and Bailey, and the rep. Maybe not our champion on Raw, but these girls can do this. Most of these girls can do this type of stuff if they allow them. If they take the gloves off and allow them to do it, they can do it.
Well, here's what I want, and here's what I hope happens. I hope that the fans, and we're going to get to the fans in a minute, because I'm aggravated with the fans today. And I'm an equal opportunity aggravator. So I'm going to tell you why I'm aggravated with the fans in just a minute. But I hope the fans that enjoyed this flood the WWE with positive comments saying, yes, please, this is what we want. Can we have more pay-per-views like this? Can we have more Raws and SmackDown like this? This is what we want. When you do get what you want, you can't nitpick and say, oh, but one little thing I didn't like. Tough. This is what you wanted. All you wrestling fans have been writing me saying, where's that hard edge? Where's that fast pace? Where's that, it really feels like a fight feel? Where is it? It was at Hell in a Cell last night. And if you say nothing, WWE is going to say, see, it doesn't matter. Go back to the other style. It doesn't matter. And it's safer to go back to the other style. Less injuries. It's no big deal. No, you tell the WWE in no uncertain terms. That's what we want. We want the 3.5 hour pay-per-views with only 7 matches so we can get long matches. We want the hard-fought matches that look like a fight. We want the pacing to be fast and furious like that. That's what wrestling fans want. At least that's what I want. Todd, I thought this was a really good women's division match.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a pretty good women's division match between Charlotte and Becky. And well, like you said, that's last night when they took the cuffs off. Like, this is cool to see. Like this
you,
is something
and it was
I wanted
different.
To...
It was totally different. It's like I was watching a different federation. When I saw the physicality between Jeff Hardy, who's injured, and Randy Orton, who's injury prone, I said, holy cow. They're really letting it rip. And then you know what I said to myself? Not going to lie, I'm a little bit skeptical. So I said to myself, well, they have started this event out with 3 straight SmackDown matches. 3. And that's probably on purpose because these are the guys that's going to steal the show. The SmackDown guys, that's the SmackDown booking. But when the Raw booking comes, oh God, the Raw booking is going to kill this pay-per-view. The SmackDown booking is fine so far, but oh, here comes the Raw. And when that happens, oi, oi, oi. So what do we get? We get Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins against Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. And that thing was incredible. Start to finish, incredible. They were going at such a fast pace. I honestly said, I don't even know how they're calling this match. I don't even know how they're calling it. Things were happening at such a fast and furious pace that I really wasn't sure how they were calling it. But man, were they doing a great job. And they allowed a clean win, and that is exactly what was needed in this situation. It did not in any way, shape, or form hurt either Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose, but it did elevate Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. It made people say, I'd love to see another rematch because it's really not fair. It was a 2-on-1 there at the end. Absolutely perfect booking. Absolutely perfect execution. Great match, start to finish. And this pay-per-view was really cranking on all cylinders by this time, Mike.
Yeah, and look, here's something else to think about. As I was watching that match, I'm looking at Ambrose and, yeah, they're in and Galloway and McIntyre, I'm looking because they're bigger guys, you know, and that the pacing of usually if you got a bigger guy like that, you know, well, we know how big Galloway is, and
about 260, 270, yeah,
270, and Ambrose is no small man either. So I mean, usually those big guys don't do that. They don't wrestle that boom, 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 you know, that quick of a match. We know Ziggler and Rollins can do that, but those big guys, when they got going and they were doing their thing, I'm saying, oh gosh, as I was watching that women's match, I said, that could be a match of the year candidate. This could be a match of the year candidate as well, too.
Mike, Drew McIntyre did a nip-up halfway through the match. He's 6'8", or 6'7". Yeah. He's 280 pounds, and he did a nip-up. You know. Okay.
Yes.
Unbelievable. I mean, this is what we wanted to see. This is what we wanted to see. We wanted to see these guys let loose so they could show you their talent. Give them the ample time to show you what they can do. Great so far. We then go AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe. And not only did this is the match we wanted AJ Styles to have with Nakamura. Very well-paced match. Now, Joe is not the guy who's going to go full balls to the wall for 20 minutes. God bless him. He's not doing that. So AJ had to create most of the motion, but it didn't matter because it was still a good pace. And it looked like Joe was purposely slowing the pace down to suit himself, strategy. AJ was trying to keep the pace high to wear Joe out. At one point, they're even saying AJ's more tired than Joe because AJ had been flying around the ring trying to set that pace. And correctly, the announcers, who did a fabulous job last night for a change, pointed that out and said AJ's pace has been so high, maybe because he's so angry, that he's tired now. Joe just kind of let him punch himself out. And that's logical because you were sitting there saying, yeah, and Joe wasn't really working that pace. And there were some brutal shots. You saw AJ's mouth get busted open. There was a couple of shots that I'm like, whoa, man. Hard-hitting, balls-to-the-wall wrestling. That's exactly what we wanted. And I love the fact that at the end of the night, when they had the pin, well, at the end of the match, when they had that pinfall, it looked very clever on AJ's part. I'm going to roll him over on his shoulders for the three count while he's got me in the coquina clutch. But then Joe's reaction of, he tapped out. What are you talking about? And then the second camera angle cleverly showing AJ looks as though he tapped out. That sets up a rematch that is absolute. Now, there's some people criticized it and said, if AJ Styles is such a ring technician, he knew the referee was counting 1-2. He couldn't hang on for one more second without tapping out. Yeah, okay, that's a minor point that I'll give you. That probably isn't the best way to do it. But nonetheless, it sets up a scenario by which AJ Styles has to come out Tuesday and say, he had me beat, I'm not going to lie. So I'm going to give him his rematch. And we're going to see a great rematch. We're going to see a great rematch. Again, these guys went at it. Everything they did looked like it hurt. It was a great pace, even for a Samoa Joe match. And I thought, you know, look, AJ found the fountain of youth. I mean, AJ wrestles like Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins is, I don't know, 30? And AJ's 40-something. So AJ Styles has basically found the fountain of youth. And he can wrestle at a pace that's just ridiculous. And it was just an incredible match, start to finish, I thought, Mike.
I thought so, too, as well. And that's the thing. I mean, yeah, you're not going to get – even though Joe did give you some spots in that match, I mean, him diving through the ropes – And putting AJ into the table.
And did you see how hard that looked, Mike? That looked so real. Because he hit it so hard, you're like, oh, they weren't being careful last night. You know, they weren't acting like they were made of glass. When he hit that and AJ flew into the table, I'm like, well, damn. You know, that really looked like it hurt.
I'm looking at that. AJ's not getting up. You know,
yeah, and to his credit, Samoa Joe, too, when he took the knee to the head and they said he may be unconscious. I mean, I don't care how big you are. If a 220-pound guy runs as fast as he can, hits you in the temple with a knee, that's what's going to happen. So everything was logical last night where you say, man, everything looks high impact.
Yeah, and look, I guess we'll get to this. We haven't gotten to it. I mean, they even give us some comedy. Some lighthearted stuff to take our minds off the action stuff with the New Day, you know, after that match later on. I mean, that was hilarious, that your typical New Day thing, but that was hilarious.
Sure. Look, so far, this pay-per-view is cranking on all cylinders. There's no question about it. I absolutely love the ending. I wasn't a guy who hated that ending. I do admit that AJ tapping out when he can clearly hear the referee counting two seems a little odd, but at the same time, now AJ cannot come out on Tuesday. I'm going to preface this. This is a great ending if AJ owns up to it. If AJ says, I was not tapping, that's not true. It may look like it. I was trying to get his, you know, arm off me or something, that's going to be ridiculous because that's going to look like a face is lying. But other than that, I think this was a really great hard-hitting match, Todd. I loved it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. It was another great match right there. Like you said, there was like a lot of false finishes. There was a lot of false full pin counts. Well, like you said, it's a hard-fought match right there.
And again, even though the pace might not have been up to the rest of them for a Samoa Joe match, it was still a really good pace. And it felt like a real fight. That's what made it good. All these matches, all night long, the pacing and everything felt like a real fight. So far, we're really cranking. We go to The Miz and Maurice versus Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan. And we knew we were going to not get quite that pace because Maurice and Brie Bella is not doing it. But what we did get was a very cleverly booked match where Maurice aggravated Brie Bella with, you want your hands on me, but I'm not going to allow it. It goes back and forth. Daniel Bryan and The Miz were really going at it full force, that's for sure. And what a great ending. Exactly what I said the WWE should do, but I also said they wouldn't. I didn't have faith that the WWE would pull the trigger on that. But they did, and Maurice won. And now you're left with Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. Here's why that's a great idea, and here's why we should have saw it coming. Because I can guarantee you now it's going to be Brie Bella and Maurice one-on-one at Evolution. Guarantee it. But even better, that furthers the Daniel Bryan-Miz feud. That gives The Miz bragging rights. Everybody knows The Miz is going to come out there on Tuesday, and he is just going to play this up. And you couldn't really get any better ending to the match. This match, of course, didn't have the pacing of the other matches. It really couldn't. But in certain spots, it was very, very well done. So I'm happy with this one, Mike, as well.
I'm happy with it as well. And look, Maurice pulled off a heck of a move to get the pin. To get the more leverage on the pin. She grabbed the tights, but that kind of rolling Oklahoma roll move into the pin that she did was an incredible move for somebody that's not known for being a wrestler, you know.
Yeah, it was just smart booking. All the way around, it was smart booking. It's not going to be the match of the night. It's not one of the, top two matches of the night or three matches of the night. But it was a good match, and it furthered both angles. Remember when I told you a good wrestling angle furthers more than one thing. Usually a good wrestling angle, you can get two or three things out of. Well, we got at least two. We got Daniel Bryan one-on-one with The Miz again. And we probably got Maurice and Brie Bella in a feud for Evolution, which they're going to need some feuds. So we got two things out of this. So I'm happy with it, Todd. I think it was good.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I'm not great. But like you said, The Miz and Daniel Bryan worked very good together as a they have good chemistry like one another, and like you said, you're gonna see a lot more great matches between those two, and with Brie Bella with Daniel Bryan and Maurice with The Miz, you're gonna see more of that right down the road.
Oh, you're definitely gonna see more of it, and it's good. I mean, it's a good angle. It's working. Brie Bella looked upset, but at the end of the day, here's the good part of this booking. Nobody cheated. She held the tights, but she won. She just won. That was kind of smart. So now I'm 100% into this pay-per-view. 100% into it. And I take a deep breath because the Ronda Rousey match is next. And much like I said, out comes Ronda Rousey with Natalya, and out comes Alexa Bliss with her entourage of Alicia Fox and Mickey James. And we already know why that's going to be, because there's going to be all kinds of little sub-distractions and things because, Ronda's not going to do a really long match without a lot of hesitation and slide out of the ring and all that stuff. But actually, she didn't do terrible. my takeaway from this is it was the worst match of the night. But it was the worst match of a night in a night filled with really, really, really good matches. So overall, here's the deal. You saw Becky Lynch and Charlotte. That's what women's wrestling is supposed to look like. You saw Alexa Bliss and Ronda Rousey, and that's what a women's wrestler faces a celebrity kind of looks like. Ronda's still a ways off. She oversells little things and undersells big. She still does that annoying thing where she just drops down to one knee like a fighter in a boxing match and not just lands on her back like a professional wrestler. But she actually didn't do badly as the match progressed. She has the ability, she has the talent, I guess, to get it down. She's just got to work on the nuances. She's got to learn a few more moves. She's got to learn how to sell the heavy stuff as opposed to the minor stuff. She's got to learn to not scream in pain every time she's hit with a punch by Alexa Bliss, because to be quite honest, we've seen her in the UFC get pounded. She's not screaming in pain. You can grimace. She oversold a lot of things, and she undersold a few things. And in the end, she did what she normally does. But it wasn't the worst. It was easily the best match she's been in so far, other than that WrestleMania match that was highly scripted and had Triple H and Kurt Angle and Stephanie in there with her. But a one-on-one match, this was her best match. I'm not saying it was a good match. It was a fair match. But at least it gives me some hope that if she does want to stick around for a couple of years, we might see some evolution of her wrestling talents, and we may break through that wall. So it wasn't terrible, Mike, but this did kind of bring it down to, it brought it down a little bit, and you know, just by where they placed it, I think they knew that this would be the worst match of the night.
Right. And you know what this also did? It's also the fans were, I can deal with this being the worst match of the night. I can deal with everything else that goes along with the match, because by that point I was almost emotionally spent from watching all the great stuff that had gone on before that, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you got the little respite of the you know, of this whole thing with the New Day and the interview, Kofi Kingston doing the interview as some other character or whatever. But other than that, this, the pacing of the entire show, not just the matches themselves.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This didn't feel like a 3-hour pay-per-view. This almost felt like a SmackDown.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's a good point. It's not just the pacing of the matches. The pacing of the pay-per-view itself and the way it was booked felt very I never one time thought, oh, well, what time is it? It's getting late, you know, or how many more matches? I never felt that way. Now, that match was booked in the spot that's usually reserved for let the audience calm down a little bit because the main event's coming. And that was smart. Again, that was smart booking. That was them saying, it's not that we think Ronda Rousey sucks, but we know this match isn't going to be what these other matches are. So this is going to be the match where people can take a little bit of a break because we got the big one coming up. And so we get Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman in the cage. And again, I'm nervous because I'm saying to myself, they are not going to outdo Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton in that opening match. They're not going to. Not these two guys, because what can they do? Braun is a big brawling guy. Roman has, you know, his limited repertoire. They can pound and punch each other, but what are they going to do? What are they going to do to top that? And the answer is, not only were they very, aggressive and both guys were really throwing bombs, But then we get Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre coming out, the Shield coming out. They both climb to the top of the cage. You got guys, but you got four guys fighting on the top of the cage. Four guys. And for the first time, I'm going to tell you something. For the first time in over 2 or 3 years, there were points in that match where I'm saying to myself as a smart fan, yeah, this shit's getting dangerous. This shit's getting dangerous. And they best be careful, because now this shit's getting dangerous. And I can't tell you the last time I said that. It's always been so safe and portrayed as so safe that even when they say, oh, this is a very, oh my God, somebody's about to lose their career, you're like, yeah, 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 that doesn't hurt. Yeah, that's not going to be any big deal. When those four guys were on the top of that cage, and then two of them's trying to climb down while two of them's on, I'm saying, this shit's getting dangerous. You know, if any one of them slip, they're fucked. If any one of them thinks they're closer to the middle of the cage than they are, they're fucked. And there was when four guys is on, when two guys is on there, you can control things a little better. Four guys are on the top of that cage at one point, and I'm saying, this is getting dangerous. So I was totally into this. As they're climbing down, I know the guys are going to go through the table. They hesitated a little bit, yes. There was a couple of times when they didn't know who was going to fall first. They both made sure they were in the proper spot. But listen, that's looking at it through the eyes of a smart fan. It still was great. It was still great. They both went through the tables, and then what happens? Brock Lesnar shows up. And fans lose their mind. This is where we're going to have a problem. Fans lose their mind. Boo, this is bullshit. You go on the internet, you will find people who put up videos last night of the crowd chanting, this is bullshit, this is bullshit. Why is it bullshit? That's a brilliant way to bring Brock Lesnar back. And here's why it's a brilliant way. A, what do you want to have happen? Roman Reigns finally conquers Braun Strowman, and you're going to boo and say, oh my God, I beat fucking Braun Strowman. That's fucking ridiculous. I'm so tired of this shit. Or Braun Strowman beats Roman Reigns, and you say, why the fuck did they give him a build-up for 3 years just to make him lose the belt? I hate that shit. So you knew something was going to happen, and that something was Brock Lesnar, who kept Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman looking strong. Neither guy lost. And here's a newsflash. Despite what Kurt Angle said, of course Brock Lesnar is owed a rematch. Of course he is, if he wants one. And apparently he wants one. And regardless of what anybody says, and I don't like Brock Lesnar either, I don't want him as the champion anymore, I don't want him as a permanent fixture in the WWE, which he isn't going to be. I don't care if you hate Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was good last night, kicking the freaking door off that cage, going in there. He's a lot smaller, as you can see, but kicking the door off of there, going in and beating both guys' asses, and you're like, wow, what a great storyline to end with. Brock Lesnar is back. Paul Heyman's by his side. There's Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler laid out. Both of them went through a table. Ambrose and Drew McIntyre are going to start their feud, or on the top of the cage, passed out, I guess. Brock Lesnar's kicked the door off the goddamn cage. He's destroyed Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. Mick Foley has been maced on the outside of the ring. And what more can happen? This is great. Pandemonium is how this ended. Where you're saying to yourself, holy crap. You want to talk about wrestling angles? Let's talk about them. What now? Is Brock Lesnar going to go after Roman in a rematch, or is he going to get a three-way with Braun Strowman? Where is this going to put Brock Lesnar with Drew Galloway and Dolph Ziggler? We know Drew and Ambrose are going to start a major feud, and apparently the feud isn't over between Dolph and Seth Rollins, so that's going to continue. And how's Mick Foley going to feel about Paul Heyman macing him, and where's that going to go? There are so many questions at the end of this. That's what you need. Those are what we always have called branches on the tree. So here's a newsflash. If you're in that audience and you have just sat through that pay-per-view and you are yelling, this is bullshit or refund, refund, you're not a wrestling fan. You are not a wrestling fan. I don't know what you are, but you're not a wrestling fan. And at the risk of losing a percentage of my audience, who I value very much, and thank you for listening. If you really thought that was shit, you're part of the problem. You're part of why WWE can't figure out what their fans want. Because this is wrestling. And if you don't like this, you don't like wrestling. You can nitpick a little bit and say, I don't like Brock Lesnar. Well, I got news for you. I don't like Randy Orton. But he put on a great match. I don't like Brock Lesnar either. I don't want him to be the champion anymore either. But he is owed the rematch. And this storyline played out perfectly because you all thought he was gone, didn't you? They surprised the hell out of you. Give you an ending that you couldn't possibly have imagined was going to happen. And you're chanting this is bullshit? No, that's bullshit. This is awesome. This is exactly what wrestling fans should want. I turned off that pay-per-view saying, I can't wait to see Raw. I can't wait to see SmackDown. That's what you need to have in a pay-per-view. Everything, everything that happened in that pay-per-view last night wasn't perfect, but it was damn good. Damn good. And even the worst match of the night was at least passable. And that level rose. I mean, it was literally like, okay, that match might be a C. C or a C plus. Nothing else the rest of the night even came close to less than an A minus. Nothing. There wasn't one match where anybody dogged it. We finally saw what all these athletes can do. And I got news. If the WWE pulls back now and says, well, that was once, you know, we do that once a year. Now it's back to the old style. Fans are going to reject it because what they saw last night is what they want to see on a regular basis. At least that's what I want to see on a regular basis, Mike.
That's right. And furthermore, I agree with you about the grade, but here's something else that I want to see, and you know it's probably going to happen. I want to see Paul Heyman have to address Mick Foley.
And it might happen. Exactly. That's going to be. You don't think that's going to play out? They just gave Mick his own show. One shot show last night. Something else is going to happen. I mean, it's not going to get physical, but something's going to happen, Mike. You know that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were expecting Mick to have a spot in this spot, if it was just Socko coming out or whatever. We weren't expecting this type of spot, you know. We weren't expecting him to come down there and mace the guy and mace Mick Foley, you know.
No, it was perfectly booked. It was perfectly booked. I understand that people don't like Brock Lesnar. Again, I don't like Brock Lesnar either. But this was perfectly booked. It makes sense. 100% logical. There was utter chaos. The pay-per-view ending was utter chaos. You have two men on the top of a cage. You have two men who just fell off the cage through tables. You have two men who have killed each other or are in the inside of the ring. And you have Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman storming down to the ring with Brock Lesnar kicking the cage off the door and Paul Heyman macing the guest referee, Mick Foley. That is utter chaos. There are bodies strewn everywhere. There are storylines flying around in the air. And fans are chanting, this is bullshit? You really seriously have to rethink if you're a wrestling fan, if you truly think that's bullshit. because that is 100% perfectly toying with your emotions. You can't be a wrestling fan and say, oh, I don't like getting, you know, marked out. I don't like being fooled. I don't like being worked. What do you mean? No, we just wanted a conclusion to go home. What are you talking about? Both of these guys stayed strong because of that ending. We don't know who's going to win, Roman or Braun. Who knows? We don't know what Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler had up their sleeve because the Shield came through. So at the end of the day, everybody stayed looking strong. And Brock Lesnar came back with a bang. And you can't ask for more than that. You can't ask for more than that. So if you really wanted a refund after this show, after seven matches, eight really, but seven on the main show, that were just six of which were stellar, and one of which was at least passable, then I don't know what you want anymore. I really don't. The WWE tried something different last night. They told their athletes, go out there and be physical. Go out there and set your own pace. Go out there and bust your ass. And match after match, we saw accidental blood. We saw bruises on people's bodies, welt marks. We saw busted lips. We saw knots on their head. The Miz had a great big knot on his head, as you saw. We saw all kinds of physicality last night. We saw them cut the constraints off of these wrestlers and tell them go. And everyone busted their ass. Everyone busted their ass. And every one of them deserve our appreciation for that. And you got fans chanting, we want a refund and bullshit? Just because Brock showed up? You got worked. And instead of saying, oh, man, I got worked. I never saw it coming. Yeah, cool. Which was my reaction. You're mad. I didn't read nothing on the dirt sheets about this. How dare they? What are you talking about? Enjoy it. That's what wrestling is. Todd, I thought this was a really good ending to the pay-per-view.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. The one part I like about when Lesnar came out, when he kicked the door off its hinges of the Hell in a Cell thing, and that was pretty cool the way what he did, and that was one of the best parts of that match.
Listen, there's no question that was like a wow moment. You know, that's cool. Now, a couple of people have been asking me, so I'll address this quickly. Why is the cage red, and why did they change it? They changed the cage because they coated it with rubber. And let me tell you something. That almost caused some problems because the rubber coating can get a little bit slippery when there's sweat and crap on it. And you notice those guys were struggling to climb the cage. Because now it's rubber coated. The reason it's rubber coated is if you get your head thrown into it or your body thrown into it, it's going to be a lot lighter for you. Now you can see the rubber coating. So the WWE decided if we paint it, you won't be able to see the rubber coating. So they painted it red, I guess, for hell, like Hell in a Cell, you know. But that's why. But it also makes it more dangerous to climb and easier to slip on if you're walking on the top of it, which I don't know if they did it to the top, but I assume they did. And that's why you saw Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins trying to be real careful because on the way down they were like, yeah, we're having a little problem with this. Usually there's some traction here because it's coated with the regular steel is coated. I forget what the actual word for it is. I'm having a brain fart here, but it's like it's gilded with something that's a little easier to get a grip on. Rubber, even though you would think it's traction, it's that slippery sort of. Go to the ball field and put your hand on the wall. Most of the ball fields now are doing it, your local ball field. And you'll see what I mean. If that gets wet with sweat, that's very slippery. They were having a little bit of a hard time with it. So that's why that happened. Overall, folks, there is no way I can give this anything less than an A+. And I know I said there were B- matches and there were even a C match, but the entirety of the pay-per-view, how it was paced, how hard everybody fought, how the matches were booked, the intensity of it, the way everything played out, the order of the matches, which I thought were really good. This is as close to a perfect pay-per-view as you're going to get. If I wanted to show someone who never saw wrestling before a pay-per-view and they had to watch it start to finish, I would show them this pay-per-view. Because I think they would come away with it saying, wow, man, there's some intense shit in there. Some of these guys got their ass beat. And that don't look fake. There's the chair shots. It's denting the chair. The guy's bleeding from his back. This guy's lip is all busted open. This guy's got a knot the size of a golf ball on his head. This guy's leg is hemorrhaging. Pretty intense. So overall, I think the WWE did a fantastic job. They gave the fans finally what the fans want. And I hope you fans will let them know that so we get more of this instead of complaining. And then they say it doesn't matter what we do. Just go back to the safer style. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I agree with you. They need to keep this up. And look, frankly, not only did the performers, not only did the guys have it, but I think – both sets of commentators had a very, very good night as well, you know. And that's no joke. Now, and look, and here's something else to think about. They made Ambrose was climbing the cage with that kendo stick. They made the comment. Now we don't know what's going to happen. He was crazy before. Now he's totally nuts, and he's climbing the cage with a kendo stick. You know.
Yeah, and they also made the comment, which was smart, if he can ever get up there, because Ambrose was having a really hard time due to that rubber coating again, and he was climbing real slow, and they were saying, well, you know, that's Ambrose. They did. They had a great night. They managed to cover up any little minor things that went wrong. They added to the match. Corey Graves was rightfully upset with Randy Orton instead of saying, well, hey, Jeff Hardy knew what he signed on for, you know. Corey Graves was saying, well, that's disgusting. And, you know, you can't do that. You can't bring a screwdriver in the ring. That's ludicrous. That's a weapon. You know, he's not taking the bad guy's side, which is a good thing for a bad guy announcer to do once in a while. Everything just cranked on all cylinders. It's like the WWE woke up. It's like they were in a coma. They were on autopilot and somebody kicked their chair and said, could you wake up and fly the plane? And they were like, oh, okay. Because this is the WWE I remember. This is why I love wrestling. This is what I've wanted for months and months and months and months. And I only got like maybe one match on a pay-per-view. Maybe a match here and there on Raw or a match here and there on SmackDown. Nothing to really hang your hat on. Now we finally got it. We got a whole pay-per-view of it. And I don't want to hear fans chanting this is bullshit or I want a refund. As a matter of fact, I want to hear fans praising this so the WWE realizes, hey, social media today is filled with thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. I guess we're going to have to do some more of this. Todd, what's your overall rating?
I got to go with you. I got to go with the same grade. Ew.
Well, I'll tell you what. Across the board, even the harshest critic, if you give it less than a B+, I don't know what to tell you. I'm giving it an A+. I was thoroughly entertained from start to finish. I enjoyed every single match. I enjoyed every single branch on the tree that could get thrown out for tonight's Raw or tomorrow's SmackDown. I'm greatly looking forward to what they do tonight with some of this, especially with the Paul Heyman McFoley thing, how they're going to explain Brock Lesnar, this whole thing. Could hit epic proportion tonight. For the first time in a very long time, I'm excited about Raw. And I'm very excited about SmackDown, too. So good job, WWE. Listen, give credit where credit is due. Somebody woke up, and they took the handcuffs off last night, and we got a hell of a pay-per-view. And we should definitely let the WWE know that this is what we want from our professional wrestling. We'll see you tomorrow with the Monday Night Raw report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.